Rangers Rambles.
And we are live. Welcome to the next episode of the Furry Raiders podcast. My name is Jolt, the chief host of the podcast, and with me now we have some returning hosts. Say hello, Orion.
Hello.
Noble.
Yo.
Red.
Red got booty.
That's me.
Nito. Wow. And last of all, we have a first timer, Jill. Do introduce yourself and do tell us all a bit of a fun fact about yourself.
Hey guys, name's Gil the Hedgehog. I'm a hedgehog, which means a rodent with spikes on its back. And I do games, I do art, I do shit posts. I don't know who I am anymore.
Hey, gotta go fast.
Yes, gotta go fast.
It gets difficult to shitpost when everything is a shitpost.
Indeed. That is very true.
Yeah.
That's the current state of the world we're in, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Essentially because people are basically taking shitposts way, way, way more seriously than they ever need to.
Yeah. The thing is, though, originally a shitpost was designed to derail a conversation which got boring or too political.
Pretty much.
And make it like, say, like way more entertaining as well, too. You know, in order to pull some laughs, which at least that's my goal with my shitposts I create.
Yeah. And speaking of which, I do have this little shit post that I picked, because now I have a screen share working.
Right. Oh, that's good.
Now.
What the here we hell?
Look that's so what adorable.
You guys.
That's kind of cute.
Because I know you guys outside of YouTube can't see this, I'll actually say, will one of you guys describe this picture for me?
I would say, this has been a long time coming, ever since Deo commissioned that artist to show herself punching Mr. Foxler in the face repeatedly. This has been a long time coming. You see, by not punching her in the face, but instead sharing a milkshake and holding hands.
Oh, isn't this that is actually adorable?
This is actually adorable. We need more of this positivity stuff. The world's fucking negative right now.
Oh, yeah, true. I mean, make love, not war. Not exactly. War, but then again, can I say something too? I mean, did you notice how they're looking like, say, like too deep in their eyes? I think someone put something in their milkshake.
Oh, no. That's pure love. That's pure love. Also, surprised to know, Dale responded positively to that.
Oh, the comment section down there is a bit of a treat. I mean,
oh, dear.
Other than that, you know, then the near obvious stuff, though. The artist in question did a spot on job, and I will definitely advocate people to go and commission at ShapeTweener on Twitter for all your art needs.
Definitely. This is a great picture. It's adorable and I like it. It's very positive. Yeah. I like the vibes. Yeah.
I love it too.
Yeah, we need more positivity in the fandom, to be honest.
Yes.
So I kind of wonder what's going to happen with the punching. Would it become a fisting?
Oh, dude. Oh,
no. Why'd you have to ruin it?
Wow.
Wow. Why'd you have to go with hey, man?
Right, dude. Basically, at this point, we're just going to have to mark this one as explicit so I don't get mass reported. All right. So, with this nice picture out of the way, I'll.
Bye bye, nice picture. I'm probably going to save that.
And we'll begin with Orion. This is your show. You're the star, and, well, Confuzzle 2018 happened not too long ago, I might add.
Yes, yeah. Orion, sign my tits.
Okay.
All right, Orion, the show's yours.
Confuzzle was a great experience this year. I was rooming with Tenacious, which, like, you know, a few of you know through the Telegram and the Discord side of things. Yeah, it was a great experience. Had a bit of trouble with the bus, but that was it, really. Yeah, and it was good to see, like, you know, a lot of the meme-y sort of t-shirts that people were wearing. Like, there's this one person who was wearing, like, a shirt which had, like, Robbie Rotten all over it. Yeah. I got to meet, like, you know, a few industry, a few furry veterans, like, you know, the likes of Dark Natasha. Really nice person.
Like one of those old school furries?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And I got to meet, like, you know, some other artists and the such.
Oh, that's good to hear. Like, it's always a big market, though. Didn't you say you got a commission, like we talked about this earlier, that you got a commission off Dark Natasha?
Yeah. It's in a file in the back of the room. Just keeping it safe. Because, to be honest, it's like I looked at it, it's probably the most, it's really awesome it is. I really love that artist's style, like, you know, especially, like, the amount of effort she puts in when it comes to, like, you know, drawing, like, see the fur of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's really good at, like, you know, she's really good at, like, rendering the fur of, like, you know, whatever character she draws.
Like, texturing the character by hand?
Yeah. Yeah, she just draws, like, an outline. She draws, like, you know, a sketch and things like that. What I did, I got, like, some line art of Orion.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's pretty much the only thing I bought in the dealer's den, because that's the only thing I wanted. I bought, like, a t-shirt and a few other trinkets on the way, but and a few posters, like, you know, one of them was, like, an awesome, like, you know, retro sci-fi poster, which was designed for Eurofluence. That was great. Like, you know, I got to meet, like, you know, some of Tenacious's friends, and, like, you know, they really, really nice people there. Like, there's a lot of joking about it, and, like, a lot of, like, you know, memeing and such.
Mm-hmm.
Memes.
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan.
There was a lot of memes this year.
So I see, but hey. So, a bit of a question. The pictures that you got, are they on E621 already?
No. it was a safe for work one.
All right.
Yeah, that's usually what I commission as well, is usually safe pictures.
Usually, yeah. Right. Usually,
yeah. Like, yeah, usually. Like 19,020.
Well.
I pretty much have, like, an even balance of safe work in NSFW.
Doubly.
I like to commission funny things fairly often, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just like art in general. So sometimes I'll get, like, a cover art for my next upcoming album. I'll get, like, cover art for a fanfic I'm writing. So, like, it usually has a purpose. So I don't want any pornography representing that.
Oh, for the best, definitely.
Yeah.
And on that kind of a side note here, I heard also from Tenacious that he you won the pub quiz again.
Yeah. Oh,
nice.
Oh.
A clever boy.
Yeah, the thing is, though, we won based on, like, the flags and, like, some of the musical tracks which we're playing. Like, you know, there was this one section dedicated to, like, you know, like, identifying, like, you know, each flag, and, like, the color scheme for the flags was white and red. And pretty much, like, Tenacious and I got all of them.
Not impressive.
Yeah, so we won the pub quiz and we got a free drink through it, so that's good.
Was it alcoholic?
Yeah, talking about drinking, there was a lot of drinking involved.
Mizu in the chat saying space is gay.
Well,
yeah.
Well, now. On the side note, what did you call yourselves into? I remember you and Tinger came up with another funny name.
Oh, damn. Oh, it was Kafurfy.
You had to go with the Donald Trump special.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I really hate the idea that trumping has become an actual term.
What, trumping?
Let's trump it.
The thing is, though,
Trump is already at work.
In Britain, trumping just means farting.
And, I mean, in everywhere that speaks normal English... I'm kidding around. But doesn't to trump something usually mean to do better than something?
Yeah, also.
Like triumphing?
But now, because of the US president, it means something different.
Which is weird because...
Go ahead.
Oh, I stepped on a Donald Trump as an example.
Oh, I see.
Grief. Oh, okay, I get it.
It's a piece of poo.
Anyway, so any other little interesting tidbits happened at the con? No, you know, nothing big, troublesome?
No, I had no trouble at all.
That's nice. I mean, you'd essentially wager to say that UK furcons could very well be better organized than the American ones.
Yeah, the organization is a lot better, and the UK cons tend to be a bit more charitable. Like, you know, people are more willing to give money to the charity which the con, like, you know, sponsors.
What was the charity the one that you went?
It was a wildlife rescue. It was, and like, you know, the convention nice. was able to raise like about £21,000.
Oh, nice.
Which is good. It's good to see that, like, you know, the convention has positive impact on the community.
Well, yes, I mean, but then again, I mean, not just do the donations, but I mean, sure, they take the donations and they do something with it as well too, right? Because sure, I mean, some people that did, you know, do some charities, some people donate and just run away with the money. That's it. Not a bad people.
What the convention does is that once it's counted all the money, it goes to, like, you know, where the charity is based and then hands them a check. Like,
nice.
Do you know, like, when you have, like, on a TV show or, like, you know, like on a news show, for example, when they're handing out, like, you know, money which was raised, it's pretty much like, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. We was just looking at, like, the channel which the convention sets up for the hotel, and it showed, like, you know, that the organizer, like, you know, given money to, like, this feline based charity, and that was nice to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, at that point, you do have to experience. You have a charity auction, at least.
Yeah, they do. There's a lot of charity items within the auction itself. I didn't attend the auction this year.
Ah,
but
right.
But we did attend, like, a funny game show based on a game show in the 90s called Nightmare. Which is basically, it's a bit like Crystal Maze, but you're blindfolded, and it's a bit like, you know, Dungeons and Dragons when you had to crawl through dungeons.
Oh, fun.
It's literally a physical version of, you know, a role-playing game.
Yeah, it was funny, but the difference is that you're blindfolded when you're doing it. So you had to, like, rely on your teammates to give you, like, you know, reliable directions or you die. In context of the game, not, like, you know, IRL, obviously.
At least.
Which, to be honest, would be a great concept for a video game.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, well, dungeon crawlers are a dime dozen. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bless you.
Yeah, I think I may have con- protracted conquered, but it takes longer to affect me. I'm okay. There was no like, you know, political stuff at a convention. There was one or two cringy t-shirts, but that was it, really.
What was the worst you saw? Which one, like, was the one like that burned into your eyes that you saw?
Yeah, it's that like an obnoxious color to it, but I forgot the slogan it had on it. I think it was something really stupid. The funny thing is, though, another funny shirt I saw this guy wear, it was like, do you know when Donald Trump like holds up something when he's like signed a bill? Like, mm-hmm. He holds up like the book. And basically, there's this guy at a shirt where he just holds it up and he's just got Pokemon cards in it. That was a funny shirt. Yeah, it's quite memey. And there's always this one guy who like sticks like, you know, a sticker in the elevator. And there's like stickers which are still at the hotel, which have been around since 2015, when there was there's a meme going on about Carlton from The Fresh Prince. Like, they were joking about the theme of like the next year being Carlton Con. So they just got random stickers of Carlton and just stuck them everywhere.
Oh my god. Imagine walking past those stickers when they become stale memed or something like that.
Yeah.
And the best funny part,
imagine 10 years from now, all right?
Yeah.
People have forgotten all about it. The next convention will be taking place there. And for some inexplicable reason, there's pictures of Carlton Banks all over the convention.
And the best part is, taking away stickers is pretty goddamn hard as well, too.
Oh, it's ballsy.
Yeah.
Depends on, you know, how some are made.
That's that story, though. But
your regular average sticker is pretty hard to take off. It's like those it's like those cheaper price tag stickers on really expensive items.
Oh, those things are...
If you get an expensive item and you got those price tag stickers and you try to scratch it off, but then it just kind of rips and it's there forever.
Yep.
That's relatable.
Taking a sticker off a book is extremely difficult, but something that's not water soluble, it's actually quite easy. You just got to use the right chemicals. And surprisingly, baking soda, vinegar, eucalyptus oil are actually really useful. To remove it off.
What's the concoction here?
It's an old sort of cleaning solution. I've used it to remove stickers, some really horrible stickers off laptops and desktops before, with leaving little if no traces of it, except if there's been discoloration over the years because this part of the laptop's been covered with something or this part of the computer's been covered with something. So you don't get the discoloration. So it will look a little uneven, but you can remove the entire sticker. It just requires a bit of elbow grease.
Yeah, I'm glad that computers aren't that horrible creamy color that they used to be.
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple of those cases still.
They're yellow all the time.
Those things just wear. Anyway, other than that, though, just to kind of conclude like that, everything just kind of went smoothly, and you know, for all the things in concern, you'd give it a recommendation, right?
Yeah, I'd highly recommend the convention for like, you know, any furries out there.
All right. And for 2019, what's in the works? Kind of a bit private about it.
The theme's going to be spies.
Very, very, very British thing.
Yeah.
I mean, regional stereotypes and all that, so.
Yeah.
All right. So, we'll move on to the next item on the catalog. And that is furries have made an appearance on the TV show Lucifer.
Oh, it's not going to be like that CSI one, isn't it?
Deja vu. A bit, to some extent, it is a case of deja vu.
Okay, but the CSI one was fucking terrible, so I'm going to need a little bit of context here.
I've watched the part of the thing. Well, nobody might know a bit more about it, though. I'll probably pop up a few screen shares.
Pop up screenshots for the rest of the audience, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah. By the way, I have to say as well, too, I mean, I watched, you know, like, you know, the clip that that Jill sent me. And I have to say, she how can I say? She busted that pussy up real good.
This has to be the one.
Oh, yeah, those are pretty good fursuits, though.
Actually, yeah, they had a healthy combination of good fursuits, proper handmade ones, and shonky fursuits, too.
Yeah.
Like, you will see right here an example of a shonky fursuit. In the show.
My boy, that's a dolphin.
Even what a squirter.
Even a squirter. Me. I can see the puppeteer inside it all, too.
Honestly, that whole thing just made me laugh.
Yeah.
imagine you see this fucking thing it's just smiling dumbly at you. It's like, all right, and then it fucking spits water all over you.
The actual verbal response, I can't remember the words particularly, but even that made me laugh. It's just like, okay.
I cringed quite a bit upon seeing that.
Yeah, it is an awful looking thing.
I'm pretty sure I'd never go to a furry convention myself because I'd probably be overwhelmed.
You should give it a try sometime, though. I mean, in your neck of the woods, you might have one.
The only one that's happening is happening directly on the same time as Galacon, which I have a panel at.
Ah, I see.
Ow.
Everything in its own time, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, just for a bit of context, Noble, because what was this episode about, though? you know Lucifer more than I do.
The last few episodes have been a bit confusing. How to describe it? They got to a really good sort of cliffhanger point two episodes ago, and then they produced these two, which threw the whole storyline out of whack. So this is like a break from the main storyline.
Yeah.
They introduced a new character in this episode, which is, yeah, okay. Now, I've been watching this since the pilot, and I've enjoyed the show. It's given me a few laughs here and there and some moments I just wish I could.
I was just simply amazed that they would put out a casting call for furries.
And yeah. They also got Squirt the Dolphin as well, too. By the way, I have to say as well, too. In that screenshot, I mean...
Are they fighting?
Yeah, it looks like it's Foxler without a dick.
It's not Dingo. It's, you'll have to watch the episode.
It looks like Foxler without a dick.
You will,
I think I'm seeing Terracoon in there somewhere.
Honestly, the fight sequence, though, isn't... For me, it's not too far out of the show itself. So this sort of behavior occurs quite often.
The CSI one was absolutely horrendous, so this is a nice step in the right direction.
They didn't have any sex scenes in this as well, so there was
that's
no orgy.
Relief.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
I'm just wondering, is that a Dutch angel dragon in the background there?
Where exactly?
There is. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I can barely. Oh, yeah, yes, I see it.
Yeah, some kind of recolor of telephone. Yeah, I'm seeing it. I'm a little bit angry that they both got rid of their fursuit heads, though. Like, I can understand the cop, like, haha, I'm a police officer the whole time. But the culprit, really?
And, like, she's, like, beating up that pussy real good.
I think she just made that joke, but I'll clap that for my
time. Well, I thought in real life, if you were, if a police officer, you know, did approach you and something serious was going on, you were supposed to take off your actual head as well.
I don't know. Yeah, okay, I'll let it slide, but in any other circumstance, that's kind of unacceptable.
Yeah, other than that, though, it's not as if they're going to start mandating con fights at any time soon in the real world.
No, true.
Did this take place in a real convention, or was this...
That's the million-dollar question.
I didn't bother looking into it, to be honest. I just sat there and enjoyed the show. But what ticks me off is the main actor. I don't know the guy who portrays Lucifer in this, but he was absent from this. And if he was in it, it would have been so much better.
Dude,
the lines that guy comes up with, that's used in the show is just, I don't know, I love it.
There's a, I'm loving that purple-haired, blue-striped wolf in the background with the grabby hands. Looks like he wants some of that.
Mm, of course he is.
Or it could be just whoa.
Yeah.
True that.
Honestly,
too.
It would have been funny if they had like a police chase through it.
I'm
just see like, you know, just police.
I'd love to see that.
I'm sorry.
That wasn't the case in the main thing, but that's kind of the episode. You just pick the relevant parts.
Yeah, is there any circles there? I can't see any circles.
Am I seeing Chef Boyardee in the background?
Yeah, I can see a chef in the background.
Relook through the more episodes there. But I have for you a screenshot of the actual episode, what the con was called and the directory.
Oh dear.
Golden State Furry Convention.
It is in, yes, California.
Oh good lord.
I'm seeing a pink tanuki. I'm seeing this is very California-like, all very girly.
I've never seen a convention in California because
where the TV show is produced.
Here's the thing: never seen a logo design that lazy.
Nor have I seen this so eccentric as well. Like, let's not kid ourselves. I have not seen a convention directory partitioned into furry wolves, furry critters, furry felines, and furry foxes.
Yeah, is that
Diet Cool Cat in the Furry Foxes tab?
I have no clue.
That looks like Diet Cool Cat.
But then again, I mean, it's a star, right?
Oh, by the way, I did see somebody at Confuzzled with a Cool Cat shirt.
Oh my god. Did he save the kids?
Good. Yeah, the thing is, though, with that sort of design, it looks like how a normie would design something furry related.
Someone who has absolutely no idea what they're all about. I will say, between all the weird stuff, that kind of giant big-eared wolf fox thing, the pink and blue one, is very well drawn.
Yeah, but yeah. Like, can I see the others too?
By the way,
at least you know that little poster reminds me of Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah,
it does. You're saying, Space?
Yeah, I was saying that. Like, you know, that they have like the tanuki and the wolf, but
yeah,
the blue tanuki and the pink tanuki are the same character, but they change the colors of them.
Wait, can I see that then? As someone who has a tanuki.
Deviant art.
Putting the deviant into art.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
That's basically what the slogan of that website should be.
More deviant than art, but
yeah. Yeah, because I remember seeing I Hate Everything's video on it. That was quite funny.
I hate everything.
I remember Mr. Medica had like a series on it.
What's it called? I've got another little tidbit to kind of share with you.
Go ahead. I'm more than happy to see.
Just to continue from that whole Lucifer thing, they have a lot of expensive cars in the show, or at least what looked to be expensive. But to me, this scene didn't seem to be too out of it. They're not exactly known for creating, having creative backgrounds to something.
Shout out to the Latino man wearing a Bavarian shirt with suspenders, a green skirt, and a Doris hat.
Yeah, I was about to say that. And the Dutch Angel Dragon as well too.
I actually find it hilarious too that this is what they think a dealer's room looks like.
Shout out to Bruno Mars behind the green fat one.
I just love some of the Walmart masks they got on there, like the Walmart panda and the Walmart bear.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
It was just pure filler because. And he could get so much real suits.
Is that a Winnie the Pooh mask behind the green the green one?
It is.
Wow.
It absolutely is.
It's just me. Is somebody wearing like a ridiculous wig too? I could just see like some ridiculous wig.
Yeah, that's a clown wig right there.
Oh, look, it's Bozo.
But maybe he's like one of those wrestler clowns, because they have like about... like
Doink the Clown from WWF?
Yeah, Doink the Clown. Yeah.
But again, I mean, like, I know, like, some of their costume might be, let's say, cardboard cutouts or something like that, but again, let's admit it all, too, because, you know, making fursuits is pretty expensive, isn't it?
It is.
It is.
But yeah, the fur itself is the most expensive part of it, yeah. as well as the foam. The foam is very expensive, it is.
Right. Oh, I do so love that they put so much effort with all those cutouts in the back of the dealer's room.
I would just buy one of those just for the lols.
Yeah.
I'm going to take that Tanuki home with me, and I'll put it in my living room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably take the feline and just put it in, like, you know, in like one of the bedrooms just to look outside. Oh, that'll be fun.
just to wave the wolf. I mean, the wolf looks more efficient for that.
It's quite funny because... I mean,
look at the cold stare that thing has.
Yeah, it is beyond
I'm going to kill you.
All right, I'll cut the screen here off for a bit.
The Tanuki at least looks like a World Cup mascot, and the cat looks, you know, it looks good. The wolf, I'm gonna not sleep tonight.
Yeah.
Just for kind of context, though, the episode had a bit of deja vu because the original CSI one was a murder mystery, and this one too had some element of, you know, murder in it too.
Honestly, that's all the show's about, is someone dies and they try to figure out who it was. And sometimes Lucifer will turn around and throw someone through a window or put in his demon face and scare the literal crap out of someone.
Yeah,
seriously, mentally scar them for the rest of their lives. It's sometimes freaky.
Oh, he's a bit like Ghost Rider then.
Yeah, true. Oh, and not to mention, well, too, I mean, at least I find that to be much more respectable than CSI because... the scene from CSI was just animal costume sodomy.
Oh, and chunky fursuits for his ear too. Other than that,
the guy who made what does the fox say had better fursuits than that show.
Yeah,
right.
It's still not a high compliment, but you get the idea. Other than that, how would you rate on the, you know, how furry was represented the episode?
Rated a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I was about to say that. 7 out of 10 as well, too.
Yeah, I'll probably go for 6.
I mean, they didn't get to see everything to see in place, but hey, I mean, it's a start. Doing enough and a good start as well, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few other lines of dialogue you've got to watch the episode to see as well. Like, but can you imagine basically being questioned by a police, by an officer, and then telling them, like, this is my thing. I was an OC or a persona.
I was just driving to the convention center. Don't hurt me, please.
Okay, so someone who hasn't actually... So for people who haven't seen this, what happens is they're at this person's house who died. They find a voice message which sounded rather ominous. So they decided to show up at the fur con with a fursuit on. This is only two people, mind you, so this is why it's so absurd. There's like two people for this sort of skit-up. The person who made the threatening phone call sees the police officer dressed up and just literally charges them and drops them to the ground. That's when they duke it out for a bit.
And like she beats up that pussy real good, right?
Third time, man.
They're both women, so I think it's okay.
Yeah, I think it is. Well,
but the thing is, though, could you just imagine being questioned by a police officer while they're wearing a fursuit?
I'd be scared.
I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, well. Oh, and the worst part of it all, like, you know, what the main character in that part also said, I'm a normie.
No.
Actually, it's one of the side characters.
I'm a normie.
Makes really a constant reappearance.
Really,
yeah.
That word was flung around once, so, and then like, oh,
yeah, normie.
But
who's banging?
You know, like I said again, like furries tend to call them like either mundanes or humans.
Humans.
That just dropped it back down to a 6 out of 10.
No, but they didn't say humans in that episode on mundanes.
Honestly, normies is better than mundanes or humans or whatever they call them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other they need crime.
I think this, kind of. Well,
this is why we need the alt furry. Seriously, this is why we need the alt furry.
No,
this
no,
is why we need the furry raiders.
This, case.
This is why we need.
For us, like, we need something. We need somebody who kind of has to make appeal to normies too.
Yeah, the thing is, though, I tend to view this group as something different from alt furry anyway.
Well, right. That's because this group is non-politically charged. This group is this group's mantra is about the acceptance of furries as a normal fandom and not as something bizarre.
Yeah,
and also that's
what this group's about. The another issue which I had with alt furry is that they started using the same tactics people are using against them.
That's the story for another time, really.
Yeah,
that's a story for another time.
We'll just kind of push through, and I've got like a little bit of an odd story, because now we're basically going to point out the absolute state of, well, the United Kingdom, which I...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, this one here. Ban cartoon characters on unhealthy foods, and members of parliament say...
Not Daddy the Tiger.
Oh my god. Oh my.
Yes. This just happened not too long
ago. Okay, you think that's bad. In Australia, there's ice cream with a character that's sold. It's called Slinky Cow. Now, if you think this is bad, wait till you see Slinky Cow.
I'm going to look it up. I'm looking it up right now.
Likewise, I might present it to you, but this...
All right, let's see.
No, wow, but the thing is, though,
look, any cow, you mean?
I can kind of agree with this myself, to be honest.
Well, in all that sense, this one. They should not have syntaxed this one.
To me, this is just a virtue signaling. It's not going to make any difference at all when it comes to combating childhood obesity, because they've implemented bans on, like, you know... adverts which advertise sugary products before the watershed.
Here's the thing about that. Children will always go for junk food because children love junk food. Whether and there's a cartoon tiger on there or not, it makes no bearing on it.
And the children as well too.
It's not the manufacturer's responsibility. It's the parents' responsibility.
Yeah.
Rather than pushing their responsibility to the manufacturers, right?
So poor Tony the Tiger didn't have to get put down like a yellow for this.
When you try to blame the parents for something like this, you might as well be bashing your head into a brick wall. I can understand this when it comes to like Iron Man being on a chocolate bar or some really bad sugary goods. I can understand that. But a character specifically designed for food, not really.
Yeah, not really as well, too.
What the hell's next? Yeah. Russia banning Zavi Vodka?
I mean...
go ahead. The thing is, though, if you take responsibility away from the parents when it comes to, obesity and the such, I don't think that will solve the problem at all.
It won't. I can assure you that it won't. Well,
because parents have to do some parenting in order to fix their kids and make them not have diabetes.
The problem is they get the idea of it's your free choice to eat what you want. Whereas they're not taught it's you either eat this, which is really bad for you but tastes really nice and this is going to happen later on, or... And then the other thing is, I'm too busy to cook dinner, or I'm too busy to prepare healthy meals.
Oh, should you buy an apple? Mm-hmm. Eat an apple.
It's speaking of eating stuff. Here's a golden one that's also impacted on the current state of the United Kingdom.
Shoot.
Indeed. hold on a sec.
After stunning revelation, assault knives can finally be banned in the UK. What? Forget knives is chopping your food with your teeth. The future of fruit preparation.
Why?
It's knives.co.uk/article/cooking.
What? Is that a shit post?
This is not a thing I did. This is written by The Times.
But no. Okay.
So, did anybody see a Null Metal Alchemist, which is the abridged version of Full Metal Alchemist? Because there's a gag about the guy who does nothing but eat lemons instead of cutting them, and it has been made into real life.
They'll look like a beaver.
Oh, dude.
Good God.
I would actually venture out and say as well that we should probably think of this in, like, in the furry lens. Like, let's not think about it like teeth, like chopping with human teeth. What if we thought about this in the furry lens, like with furry teeth?
Canine. Yeah. Beaver.
Squirrel.
Yeah. Squirrels, for one, right? Squirrel.
No, but the thing is, though, chopping food with your teeth, that sounds a bit unhygienic.
True, as well, too, because,
beyond
you know...
that, it's just plain undoable on most things.
Yeah, imagine basically grinding your face across the one piece of food and thinking your teeth is like a knife.
Imagine trying to eat a steak like that.
Oh,
good. Great.
Look, in Australia, any blunt object or any sharp object like a pencil sharpener can be considered as a weapon. You can get arrested and you can get charged. It's been like that for decades. You go to the store and you buy some kitchen knives and then you walk home with them in a bag, as long as you got the receipt and you're going from the place of business to your home, that's not illegal. You can get, if you go to court, you can actually get that. But if you go to a store, you buy a bunch of knives, and then you decide to pop over to a friend's place, then you're sort of in a bit of a gray area where you can end up either in prison or in some serious shit.
I kind of get it in the case of Australia, if only because it used to be a prison island.
Yeah, tell me about it. Oh, and well, Alcatraz? We're not done with this whole knife affair about Britain.
I don't get it. Why are they targeting knives which are legal?
Dude.
Because most of the stabbings aren't, like, you know, committed by, like, you know, like people who buy knives for, like, you know, kit for, like, you know, for, like, you know, the kitchen and stuff like that.
Yeah, look at this now. You now have to have a knife owning license in Bong Land.
You have a license for that knife, mate.
I want to bring a quick shout out to First Wolf for bringing up a good point. How are you going to make any furniture without sharp objects?
True.
Oh, fair point. Now, like, we're going to hit the slippery slope and say, you know, we're going to ban assault saws.
What about scissors?
Good point.
Assault scissors.
Scissors. Even those safety scissors can be considered a weapon in Australia.
Oh, by the way, imagine if, you know, like, so it would get the point as well, too, which, you know, if you don't have a license to cut up, you know, food with your teeth, they're going to bust a cop, you know, down your door, some pliers, you're going to tear off your front teeth.
Okay,
that'd be amazing.
So for anyone who doesn't know, in Australia, when guns became illegal, people started using knives. And unfortunately, people have also used half of a bloody pair of scissors, for Christ's sake. That just blew my mind at one point. But no, there are a lot of people who will get a kitchen knife and they'll go do a robbery with it, whether it's a store or another person. So they won't specifically go out and say, like, buy a machete or buy a proper sort of army knife or whatever, something that you can really do some damage when you sink it in and pull it out.
But it's a scissor.
Yeah. It's a sad fact of life that people will use your standard cheap-ass kitchen knife to, you know, go stab up a place. There was a kid, I think his name was Tyler Cassidy. He went into a Kmart in Australia, went nuts, grabbed some knives, tore the store up, and when he left, like, three police officers confronted him. He held up a knife and said something along the lines of, you know, kill me because I'm going to kill you, and then they offloaded a bunch of bullets into him, and that was huge some years ago when that came out. It's like, those police shot that kid. He was just fooling around, and He threatened police officers, so they... And they felt threatened, so they shot him. And I looked at that thinking, well, here's a kid who just literally tore up a Kmart, and now he's threatening to kill a bunch of police officers. I mean...
With a dull knife.
With a Kmart knife.
What are they supposed to do?
Bruh.
Well, this is what happens.
You just grab the child and slam on the ground, and that's it. You arrest him, but unload the lead into the kiddo. Really?
Okay. I'll say this though. I'll say it again. Yeah. Human beings are very good at using anything to kill another human being.
A rock.
The fists. The hands.
There is an endless possibility to use anything to kill someone.
It's almost like the tools aren't the problem. It's the people.
Yeah. Almost. That's almost like that's the case, isn't it? In fact, that is the case.
Humans are the worst animals to exist ever, in my opinion.
These laws are proposed by people who live in isolated bubbles, who live in the most highest positions in society. These people live in upper class neighborhoods and things like that. They don't have to deal with this sort of thing on a daily basis, so they don't have a clue what they're on about most of the time.
That's also true. The higher ups there have been out of touch.
It's the same with the judges in the United Kingdom. All of them are out of touch because most of them are from upper class privileged backgrounds.
Yeah, well, that's entirely on them, though. No wonder. It's kind
I
of
don't know what rape gangs are talking Democrats about. Too. I've never experienced it in my life in upstate.
But by the way, there was this one judge who proposed that all knives should have the pointy end cut off, and the knife.
How will people function? How will
Chef Ramsay
without knives?
Chef Ramsay would have a fit,
or anything remote cutting edge. Well,
honestly, when I'm cooking my dinner and when I'm cutting things up, I never use the pointy bit. I always use the blade, and I've got serrated edge. Steak knives that I use for cutting everything from tomatoes, apples to, the meat that I eat, and that just slices right through it. So I never actually have to stab anything to...
Here's the thing. In culinary...
It would cause more damage to stab somebody with a knife, which that doesn't have a blunted edge, than if it was pointy, because it would cause more damage to the tissue.
Anyway,
I'll say this: in culinary, you're supposed to use the pointy bit to stab in case you want to flip it, grab it, something, whatever. And the fork is supposed to be only used for when you're actually eating it.
Anyway, there's still one little thing before we because you got to look at this state of United Kingdom, and look at this.
There are calls for Raheem Sterling to step down from England's World Cup squad
following his decision to have guns
tattooed on his leg. Which side are you on?
Look at this. Where is your gun tattoo noises, mate?
Well, gun control isn't enough. Gun tattoo control is where it's at.
Oh, my God. This is getting ridiculous now. This is insanity. Pure
and
utter insanity.
You're basically stuck in the middle of it all.
These people just out of touch.
Honestly, Britain needs to get rid of the Conservatives and Labour at this point.
Well.
Both of them are as awful as each other.
Shall we control this one here? Let us all go off and start, for every security gate, start having people, strip down so that they have you got a gun tattoo on your body?
Mate. Oh boy! Imagine if they see a gun tattoo on them, and they're just grabbed by the leather, just rip their flesh open. There, now you can enter.
I've been trying. I've been to a number of group interviews, and tattoos are always brought up, at least here in Australia. They state that it's okay if it can be covered up.
All right.
So an example would be if you've got tattoos that are over your arms and your legs, don't wear shorts. Don't wear short sleeve shirts while you're working. Outside of work, we couldn't give a stuff.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's how it is over here as well, because they're seen as incredibly unprofessional.
Bless you.
Like, at this point, we just safely kind of conclude that,
Wrongland has...
Oh my god, I'm just wondering, are they going to clamp down on knife tattoos soon?
True.
Oh my god. Is Brock Lesnar going to get in danger?
Yeah, you got to watch out for those sporks, man. We need some spork control.
And everything in between.
Watch out, man. All those kids with the Pickle Rick tattoos, they can't do that because it looks vaguely like a sharp object.
Oh, my God.
Oh, well, now.
Oh, yeah.
In all seriousness, though, you in the United Kingdom, I have really no words to say.
Basically, in the United Kingdom, everyone outside of London hates the political establishment.
Oh, they will now. I do have this ultra, ultra crazy take. Theresa May, yeah. Well, no. Margaret Thatcher has said there is no such thing as society.
No such thing as society.
There is no such thing as society.
Let that sink in for a bit. Like a fine wine. Just let that sink in.
No, I don't think it was Thatcher who said that. It was Theresa May who said that.
Good Christ!
Well, honestly, I've seen like, you know, snails with more spine
or intelligence
than Theresa May,
or whoever said on wind. Basically does not real. Well, I think has.
Wasn't she also the person that suggested that you can't chase criminals on mopeds?
Yeah, that was the same person. Oh, you can't tackle, like, you know, criminals on mopeds if they haven't got a helmet, just in case you hurt them.
Oh my good Christ!
Honestly, I'm surprised the military hasn't ousted her yet. But Britain actually has had worse prime ministers in the past.
Like who? Can you give a good example?
Oh, flipping hell, I forgot his name. the thing I know is that the military was considering ousting this person.
Or?
Yeah, I think it's because of his economic policies failed catastrophically.
I want Willy Brandt back. Willy Brandt was the best chancellor Germany had ever had.
Well, it was Edward Heath.
Edward Heath, what's his name? And because of, like, his economic failure, that they wanted to, like, ditch him off power, huh?
Yeah.
I see.
Well, then, in all that state, I really just have to conclude that you are essentially in a society that's gone, that is in lunatic land.
I think, like, they're trying to, like, break each other's record on how bad can they be, basically. At least that's how I see it.
The only thing you can hope for is that by the time it's realized how bad a decision was, it's reversed before it has a permanent long-term effect.
I think our current leader is trying to be the next Erich Honecker, who legitimately said that he hated Germany.
Really? I'm part German. What do you say about that? As racist to say about my goddamn Germany.
I'm full German. I'm born and raised here.
Why does he hate Germany?
He just hated Germany. That was, I mean, he was also the Chancellor of East Germany back then, which was Soviet territory, and they hated the Germans.
That really activates my almonds there.
That really gets your
argument.
I honestly don't know if Germany got into a war with Russia, who do you think would win?
Probably Russia, because of all the sanctions on Germany, at least to my knowledge.
Russia, because of the numbers game.
True that.
Yeah.
I honestly don't pity him. I mean, I just at this point, I think everyone's going to be in the tank for Russia.
Or maybe because like there's like so many things going bad, it's so poignant, like people are pushing it to go. I mean, they know it's going wrong and they're still pushing for it just to see how bad it can get.
If you want to win, if you want to win any sort of conflict, be friends with Russia. Because they've got a lot of powerful friends where it counts.
And yeah. They have all the weapons where it counts too.
That's one thing Britain does really poorly at.
I mean, didn't they try to save a rattle, Russia?
Yeah.
Oh.
An idiot of a foreign secretary decided to save a rattle with Russia.
Really?
Good job. Christ. Yeah, well, them's the right.
Honestly, it's not as bad as the European army idea, because that's one of the worst ideas I've ever heard.
At that rate.
Yeah, and that sounds pretty scary, too.
Tell me about it.
It's like the head of the... I just wondered, who's in charge of the EU again?
I don't know. I know who the Secretary General of the United Nations is. That's Ban Ki-moon, but other than that...
It's at this point, yeah. It's...
Honestly, you know your system's great when nobody knows who's in charge of it.
True.
They basically said, you know, they're not relevant enough.
Ah, it's Donald Tusk. I thought you stepped down. There's President of the European Council, President of the European Commission, and President of the European Parliament. Ah, I see. It's very confusing that way.
Okay, honestly, so the council is Donald Tusk, the commission is Jean-Claude Juncker, and the parliament is Antonio Tajani.
Yeah, I could just imagine, like, you know, Donald Tusk just, like, you know, as, like, you know, Chancellor Palpatine.
He sends troops to another country. Unlimited power!
I am the European Union.
Even better.
Like, it's literally at this point, the EU has become too much of a joke that one, they've had to veto out Italy's, well, legitimately elected government.
I've never seen that this difference between shooting yourself in the foot and blowing it off with a shotgun. The EU has blown both their feet off with a shotgun.
And now they're trying to see if they can still step on some caltrops while they're at it.
I mean, at this rate, though, I mean, all that will be left is essentially Germany and Belgium.
Yeah,
forever
basically...
alone.
Feels guy.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Can we have a crusade? I would want one of those.
We don't need that.
Oh, you will realize there will be a time for another crusade.
History repeats itself.
The thing is, though,
police officers are wearing chainmail.
Wow. The thing is, though, something like that, it would never be instigated by Europe. It would be instigated by Turkey.
Yeah, and that's the contention, too, is that we'll have, you know, there's a story that will go that Turkey will be wiped off the.
The thing is, though, with Turkey is that the current leader of Turkey is an authoritarian lunatic.
He is a crazy person, I'll say that much. Erdogan is a weirdo.
Who can't take, you know... I mean, wasn't that guy, wasn't like one German guy made a music video spoofing him? And then
and he got
like,
triggered.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yep, it happened. I remembered it well, and woo lad. But other than that, though, I think we've basically, this might just be time to, you know, put this all out in a wrap.
We haven't done Elon Musk, have we?
Well, we kind of sidetracked on it, though. But
We should talk about him next time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where we make jokes, we can
just
to laugh,
make enough
to hide the fact
for it. Like how one man essentially, you know, opened the curtain. And everybody threw a fit.
So basically, like, they can open, you know, the curtain on us, but we can't open the curtain on them. Otherwise, that would be wrong. And, like,
Elon Musk is my hero.
Anybody in a position of power takes on a lot of psychopathic tendencies. Now, they may be small, they may be big, but when it's publicized online everywhere, anyone can read negative feedback about something, people generally don't take that very well. And because Musk decides that I'm going to represent my company, he is sort of doing a Donald Trump.
Dude, oh. WTF, I love Tesla now.
No, but the thing is, though, that the media, they always try and bait or, like, you know, instigate some sort of drama or issue with these companies and these groups. They're always the instigator.
Can we have like a new?
I'll say this, because once Elon pulled the curtain, all these journalists and female journalists too basically decided to virtue signal and say, "Have you been harassed by Elon Musk or his fans? DM me."
It was more his fans. This is an actual serious problem. A couple of people on YouTube that I watch have had this, where they've told people, "Do not go after person X. Just because I have something negative to say about them, don't turn around and plaster them with harassment."
Oh, yeah. I mean, cause like, you know, like PewDiePie as well, too. I mean, he might as well say something bad about some other person. And I mean, he got to say over, like, how many subscribers? Like, he can't be responsible for every single one as well, too, right?
Yeah, the problem is that, like, you know, that there could be, like, third-party trolls who like, you know, who portray themselves as fans, but they're actually not.
They're, like, hidden within the ranks to cause harm.
PewDiePie has more subscribers than the average European country has people.
Yeah.
Let that sink in.
The problem which I have with the European Union is that, to me, it's extremely corrupt.
Yeah.
Really now.
And I don't like the way that it introduces, like regulations which screw over small or medium businesses when favoring, like, you know, large corporations.
So let me just roll back to what Jolt said. I think we're wrapping this up now.
It's pretty much kind of
I mean, we were going to talk about Elon Musk, but we did end up talking about it, right?
Only a touch, but I think that's essentially the story of it all, because him basically doing that and causing.
All right, well, we got Musky Husky out of the way. Let's
we'll one at a time and just run up this little closing statement. Red, since you're basically up in this now, why not start?
So we are to say our goodbyes now.
We're saying our goodbyes now. So I've been Red Kabuki. Stay excellent to each other and party on, dudes. That's a Bill and Ted quote for your kids out there. That's 1980s for you. That's all for me.
All right.
Yeah. This has been Orion. Stay cool of each other. That's it.
This has been, like, say, Gil the Hedgehog. I hope you guys enjoyed this one as much as I did, and I look forward for the next one. So I'll see you guys next time, and until then.
Noble, anything to close up
with? Nothing really. Just try not to go batshit crazy over something simple.
fortunately and unfortunately, the timeline we live in, though. And, I mean, in all sense of the word, I just hope, you know, you basically understood that, you know, we still make the time to have fun at conventions, and, like, while we still can, just to take our mind away from it, which is the intent of it, as it was, you know, years ago. So at least, you know, you're kind of lucky Confuzzled had that, in that sense. So, in that said, that's pretty much all the time we had, and I hope you had as much fun listening to this as we had making it. Never mark that, you know, we rambled on this much, but hey, it's our namesake. So in that case, until next time, see you later.
Laters.
Until next time, and until then. Bye.